You're listening to Face Off, episode 42, recorded November 7th, 2009. Welcome to Face Off, your face-to-face web technology podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Jade Robbins.
And I'm Mark Sanborn.
And in this podcast, we talk about various aspects of web technology, such as web development, social media, and web entrepreneurship. As always, you can view our show notes by going to faceoffshow.com. All right, Mark, we've actually had a pretty interesting week. A couple things that we want to talk about. And the first, of course, that makes us the most excited, of course, is we got some new phones.
Yeah. For the record, I got mine first.
For the record, I wanted mine first.
So we got droids.
Motorola droids, yeah.
So we're rocking the Google Android.
Yeah, we're riding the Google waves.
We are fans of open development and things like that, and it's easy to develop on them, I guess. And
totally. So, I mean, what do you think of the phone?
I love it.
Yeah, it's very web-centric. That's the best part about these phones. Like, even the iPhone, which arguably was sort of the one that spurred this sort of very integrated data heavy phone usage sort of thing. So
yeah, it kind of paved the way. It's my first smartphone, so I'm excited about that.
Nice. I mean, I've had smartphones for a while now, probably 4 or 5 years. Mm-hmm. So I really like them, but they've always been Windows Mobile that I've had in the past, which I love hate with. I mean, I like the smartphone concept, but Windows Mobile tend to be very clunky, and sometimes depending on the phone, it was very difficult and very sluggish. And
what do you think about the slide thing? I think I find myself not using the keyboard.
I haven't really used it yet, but I think once I start getting into emailing and texting pretty heavy, I will. Uh-huh. I did notice that. So I had what I had before this phone was a Samsung Omnia. Mm-hmm. Or actually not before that, but the sort of last big phone I got was the Samsung Omnia, which I got really excited about. And it had an on-screen keyboard, no slide-out keyboard, and its keyboard was tiny. There was no way I could type on that thing at all. Mm-hmm. So I actually ended up getting, my wife has it now because she has very tiny, tiny little fingers. But I don't know, I'm in the same boat. I haven't really started using it yet, mainly just because it almost seems like an inconvenience for what I'm doing to have to slide out the keyboard to use it. But I think that if I started writing emails or even like using Google Talk, which is really easy to use, I think I would use it a lot more. Mm-hmm. Quit taking pictures.
It's got a nice camera on it.
It is. 5-megapixel camera. Great phone. Very heavy, very solid. I like that. I feel like it's good construction. It's not light. It's not plasticky. You know, even though it is made out of, I think, plastic, but it doesn't feel like it at all. If you feel it in your hand, you feel it in your pocket, and I like that. Some people don't, but I'm very hard on electronics, so I like to know that things I have won't be destroyed.
It charges with a standard USB cable, so that's cool.
That's always nice. But other than that, it's great. Yeah, I mean, I love having sort of web stuff wherever I go. I usually don't use the web. I use a lot of services on the web.
Yeah, and it's very Google heavy, which we're really big fans of Google. Like all the navigation is done with like Google Maps and things.
Street view, like you can have in your navigation Street View. Great. I think people at Garmin and like Magellan must be very afraid because a phone like this
really makes
navigation easy and a lot like their devices.
Yeah.
Only it has the power of a data plan behind it, you know, which a lot of them don't. You have to upgrade and download the maps as you go and stuff like that. So. Mm-hmm. Anyways, I don't know how much that... This is web technology related, right? We can find some way to justify this.
Well, that's about it. I mean, it's really nice. And
yep.
I mean, we could talk about it for a while now.
App store with a lot of free and a lot of paid apps, similar to the iPhone or the Apple store.
I think we'll find a lot more apps for this because it's easier to since it's open and
totally.
Everything.
Totally. There is definitely, you know, there's just a sheer much larger number of apps in the Apple one just because I think it's such a popular platform. But I think
you don't have to pay for it or anything. The
new Android phones on Verizon, I think that the Android platform is going to explode because Verizon's a very big carrier. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of people on it. And I think as more people, you know, like this didn't sell out like the iPhone did, but Apple had a lot of power behind it, a lot of clout. A lot of people mm-hmm. believed in Apple. Not a lot of people believe in Verizon, so I think a lot of people were worried about it. But I can almost tell you, from the 5 or 6 hours that I've had this phone, it's everything I've wanted it to be, mm-hmm. and it's fun.
And I mean, you mentioned selling out and stuff. We went into the store. We had to be on a waiting list just to talk to somebody.
Yeah, it was crazy.
There was a lot of people in there, and everybody was getting the Droid pretty much.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. I looked at the other Droid, the Aeris from HTC. Actually, you know, now that I've played with this and I realize how little I use the physical keyboard, I almost would consider getting that one. This one has such a nice big screen, very high resolution, bright.
Yeah, it's higher resolution than the iPod or the iPhone.
Yeah, I like it.
All right.
Cool. Well, that's our phone. That's our
toy. Well, I'll get back to...
Yeah, we've been busy. We're trying to get stuff ready for the show, and we've had to peel each other away from our phones probably like 10 times because we're like, all right, let's get some stuff together. Anyways, check it out. I like it. I think Droid's a great phone. I think we're going to see a big shift in the cell phone market now that there is a big player with a great operating system that is free.
And a good carrier.
And that it's open source. I really am hesitant to say good. Very popular. I don't know. In other areas, though, it's like, so in Montana, I mean, Verizon is a big name.
That's all you mean. I mean, there's no... If somebody asked me what carrier should I go with, there would be no question in my mind. I would say Verizon.
Yeah, exactly. But in other places, I've heard that Verizon doesn't get, you know, like in a lot of bigger cities, Verizon doesn't get it. It's got really good rural coverage, but
I think they have the largest network. Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. And with 3G, for 3G speeds, they definitely have the biggest network. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of 3G. I mean, here right now, we have 3G speed right here, which is pretty crazy.
Cool.
So I like it. Check it out, everybody. I think if you get one, you know, let us know how much you like it. Let's move on. Last week we talked about source code management hosting options. Or not source code hosting options that use source code management software.
In a web app.
Yeah. Web-based. So we forgot. I mean, didn't forget. We knew about this one, but we kind of decided not to talk about it. But we had a viewer that was concerned about that. It's launchpad.net. Which is where Ubuntu hosts all its stuff, right?
Yes, Canonical is the companies that do Launchpad.
So obviously that makes sense. There'd be a lot of Ubuntu Linux stuff on there. It uses Bazaar though, right? So, I mean...
So MySQL, I'm looking here. MySQL is on here. They're big. GnomeDo. I don't personally like that application, but it's very popular.
What? I don't use it. I use it.
We try.
Terrible.
I don't have a use for it.
Okay. What else? Who else is going on?
Gwibber, which is the GNOME Twitter client. That's I don't like that one either. But
which one?
It's popular. And then this AWN. Isn't that doc program? The Vant Window Manager. Yeah. It's the doc.
Okay.
It's on here. So I mean, there's some decent names on it. It's not. And of course, Ubuntu.
Yeah, we always say it wrong.
Yeah. Ubuntu.
Definitely.
I mean, that's a big name and a very great project.
So it uses Bazaar, which is a distributed revision control system similar to Git and Mercurial. You know, feature to feature, I don't know how much it stacks up. I really wasn't interested in Bazaar because I hadn't really heard of it much except for in sort of the, you know, the Ubuntu community. But check it out, distributed. If you're interested in it, and then you can definitely use Launchpad, which is a big one. But we kind of made a conscious decision not to discuss it, just because, in general, and maybe this is sort of an error on our part, I don't hear much Bazaar buzz. So I figured it must not be a super popular version control system.
I haven't actually used it personally.
Me either. Yeah,
and that's disclaimer. Part of the reason. And we were thinking about maybe trying it because we hadn't used Mercurial. Prior to that show either.
Yeah.
But we tried that one and thought it was pretty nice.
Yeah, actually, you're still one of the using things, it, right?
Yeah, I am.
You like it?
Yep. It's, you know what? I'm using both Git and Mercurial.
Me too.
For two separate projects that are very related to each other, and I can jump in and out of both of those.
I use Git at work. We're using Git at work, and then I use Mercurial for sort of projects I work in at home.
For my workflow, I don't do anything really advanced, and so Git and Mercurial are... To me, the exact same thing with a different user interface.
Absolutely. So. You know, even the commands are basically identical most of the time.
And then Bazaar, I hope we're saying it right. I don't know if it's like...
Bazaar.
But anyways, it looks like they're very heavily focused on GUI style things too. But like I said, I haven't tried it. So actually, if one of our viewers knows a little bit about it or uses it, I would like to talk to him maybe about it or something.
Let's know. But I mean, is anyone else out there using Bazaar? Why do you use Bazaar? Why aren't you using it? You know, why aren't you using Git or Mercurial? Why are you using Bazaar specifically? Mm-hmm. But check it out, Launchpad and Bazaar.
And then Launchpad, you know, is pretty popular with the Ubuntu project and things. And so we wanted to mention that because we had a viewer, or listeners, rather.
Definitely. We always like to correct our mistakes. All right, Mark, let's move on to the web app. So the first web app has been around for a little while. Some of you guys may have known about it. Some of you guys may have not. But it is tinychat.com. So tinychat.com is really great. It's basically a web app that lets you do like sort of a video conference with a bunch of people for free.
I think 12 people?
I'm not sure.
After about three or four, especially if they're not tech-savvy people, it can get absolutely crazy with echoes because they don't use headphones or they're not using their push-to-talk button. But yeah, it's so easy. It's like the shortening URL. I mean, you get a little URL, go to it, and that's your room, and then you tell people to go to the room, and then when they get there, they get a little pop-up that says, can we access your webcam settings? They say yes.
It's all flash.
It's all detected, and it just works. And then they even have a nice little box that says, I can't remember the dialogue that it asks, but basically it asks, I know what it is. They ask you if you're using headphones.
Yeah. Are you using headphones? And if you say yes, it puts it just on push auto to talk. Yeah. But if you're not using headphones, it makes you push to talk so that you aren't giving much of echo back.
Yeah.
Definitely. Which is great because, you said, and it's nice that they kind of put it in simple terms like that. Like, are you using headphones? So are you going to have audio feedback? Well,
they don't ask you, do you want to use push to talk? Because I think a lot of people would say, no, I don't want to use that. It's auto.
Which, when you get a couple people in there and there's echo going on because of speakers, it gets chaotic and you just want to leave. Because
it'll echo like 90 times. Yeah. It'll be like two people with.
But I mean, you use this with like your mom and a couple of her friends who are definitely not the most tech savvy people in the world.
I mean, it was so awesome. You just send a URL through email or something or over the phone even because it's tinychat.com/. You can even do tinychat.com/faceoff or something. Totally. And you just give that out and really it doesn't matter what – I mean, Flash is pretty universal.
Totally.
It might have some issues trying to detect your webcam in a Linux environment or Mac or whatever, but – we didn't have any problems, and these guys that joined this room were not very tech savvy. So
totally,
it definitely worked, and it was great. I mean,
I could have swore I can't find it on their website now, but don't they have a way to pay? I thought there was a way to pay, so like we could get a persistent room. I'm not sure. I could have swore I saw that somewhere. I'm talking completely with no actual knowledge.
They've got an API. I wonder what that
does. I don't know. Maybe you can make tiny chats automatically or something, but. Anyways, I know I'm not sure if they do, but
that would be log into Pro, get more control what does over the your pro rooms. Get you? See, this is the thing. I think all the rooms are open, and you can't like kick people out.
You can kick people. Oh, you can ban people, but the fact is, if you don't leave someone in that room, if you leave it and someone else comes to it, then they own.
So there is. It looks like there's a premium membership. Maybe you get HD or I don't. It doesn't really say what it does though, until you log in. So, if anybody knows.
Yeah, I'm not going to pay for it to find out.
If anybody knows what that's all about. But I mean, it's a great service.
You can use it for free with absolutely no problem. It's super fun, really easy. And especially sometimes when you get a bunch of, like if you visit any of these sort of big forums or anything like that, you can get a bunch of random people in there and you get some pretty interesting conversations.
Yeah, and their front page is really cool. It's got like a little collage of all these webcams that people are...
Totally. Kind of like now. Yeah, like Ustream and stuff did. So check it out, tinychat.com. Great little web app. We'd like it.
This next web app that you found was Fill Any PDF.
Yeah, so here's the biggest problem with PDFs that I see it everywhere and it drives me insane. People make PDFs of forms, right? Oftentimes they'll just scan the form or they'll print to a PDF of like a Word document in which they put a bunch of underscores in. And you have to have Adobe, I believe, Acrobat Pro to make it an actual fillable form. Many of these people do. It doesn't matter if they do or not because often they are too stupid to actually do that. So what you get is a PDF that forces you to print it out and fill it out. And that is such a pain.
Scan it back in and then email it or something.
Yeah. If you're an electronic guy like us, then yeah, you end up scanning it back in. And that's such a pain. And honestly, I like, so at work, I have an Acrobat Pro. So sometimes I'll take people's forms and I'll make them fill inable myself. Mm-hmm. But it's kind of a pain in the butt process with Adobe. With this web app, you can upload a PDF and just fill it in.
Yeah.
It's really easy to use.
It's awesome.
So you just kind of you put in a PDF, and then you just, it gives you kind of like this little what do you call it, like the little text bar.
Mm-hmm.
And you just click where you want.
Yeah, the problem is, like you said, you either have to have Adobe Pro, or sometimes, like, you know, Foxit Reader, I know, like, when you try to click on it, it's like, oh, this is in the premium version, but you can try it out, but we're going to put a little watermark on it or something, you know?
Yeah.
It seems like that the filling in stuff is where you start having to pay for stuff.
Yeah.
And so this is great. I mean, and you just upload it. You can even probably upload your form and have people fill them out through there, too.
Yeah, I forgot to sign up for it.
This is kind of cool that I haven't seen before, and that's the signature option where you can actually draw your signature with a mouse. I mean, that would seem like it'd be really hard to do, but
yeah,
that's cool.
So I want to make sure, because there are premium accounts of that, but I want to make sure that before we go on, that with the basic account, you can actually upload a PDF and fill it out. I forgot to try that. I'm going to be honest with you. This is some face-off shooting from the hip here. So we'll see if
it was such a cool app that we had to shoot it from the hip.
It was such a cool concept. Honestly, you know, with some of the plans they have, you really should just get it if you convince some of your higher-ups that you might want to get a service like this, because it's really important.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so, all right, I'm logged in. I'm going to import a form, I think. All right.
So invite customers to fill out and sign order forms and things, yeah.
Oh, man. All right.
Many people can fill out the form at the same time.
Calling this one Jade. I really should have done this before we recorded. All right, I selected a PDF that does not have forms. Da, 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 da. Uploading. I hope this works, because I'm going to look really dumb if it doesn't. Valid types, JPEG, GIF, PNG, or PDF. So if someone does even scan a JPEG form for you can throw it in. I have uploaded my form, and I'm going to type or write into it. I'm going to click that.
Do you have to draw like a little box, a text box?
No, you just click where you want to type, and it just starts kind of makes a box for you. Yep, and it works. Okay, so you just have to create an account. It's free. That's good. I missed that in my looking at it. But you can sign up for a free account. I know you hate registering for stuff. We all do. But
up at the top it says no registration required. Is that just to fill it out?
Fill it out. But if you want to upload your own forms to fill out, you have to do it.
That makes sense.
So that's okay, but check it out. Super useful. Honestly, I think this will save a lot of people a lot of time, because it's such a pain to do that. You can highlight or white out stuff in the form if you want. You can draw things. You can sign stuff. You can do all kinds of fun stuff that you just usually can't do with a normal PDF that drives you insane.
Cool.
So check it out. It is, what is it called? I forgot.
Fillanypdf.com.
Fillanypdf.com.
Well, and you know how I was talking about the signature? I didn't even realize it, but like it supports tablet PCs and all the pen devices and things. So
yeah.
That would make a little bit more sense. You could sign it easier.
Maybe. You could be a really talented mouser and still sign.
I don't know. I'm not.
I have a tablet PC, and I remember I created a font. There was a tool that came with Windows XP Tablet Edition, and you could create a font out of your own handwriting.
Did you do it?
Yeah, it was cool. I would write like letters that kind of looked like letters. But, you know, it's still a font. It's not perfect, you know? Mm-hmm. So, like, all the A's look surprisingly the same.
Yeah.
But I don't think it would fool, like, a CSI, but,
you know. Maybe they should make, like, you could do four different kinds of A's, and then it randomly swapped them in and out.
Yeah. That
would be cool.
Yeah. I remember my coworker, Tig, at one point, he used my tablet to make the font. And then use that font in his blog. So he had like a big link at the top that was like, download my font if you want to see my blog the way it's supposed to be. And it looked like he hand wrote his blog. It was really funny and clever.
Nice.
Which will be fixed in HTML5. Yes. Right? You can embed fonts in
about 25 years.
Yeah, when it gets standardized. All right. If you guys have some news, man, we are rambling fools this show, I tell you what. If you guys have any news, follow-ups, or web applications you want us to take a look at, go to faceoffshow.com/feedback. We're working on some user-submitted ideas actually right now that are kind of in the works, and we'll be excited to talk about those then. So go there, tell us what you want to see and what you want to know. Let's get on to the topics. Our first topic,
Google Wave.
Google Wave.
Now,
so
before we start into the Wave, on the side note, can we invite people to join one of our Wave Ideas thing?
If they have a Wave account, I think so.
Is there any way to publicize it or anything?
You can make them public. Yes, you can make a public Wave.
We should do that.
We should. We should. Good call.
Okay, so Google Wave.
Google Wave
is the rave these days.
So this is sort of Google's new product. We talked about it. They announced it. It's kind of a mix between email, IMing, and forum chat. It's got, you know, what episode did we talk about that? I don't remember.
I'll look it up.
But I don't know what we're.
It is hard to explain what it exactly is.
So you create a wave. And a wave, again, is sort of like a list of messages that you kind of reply to, and you can reply to ones deep inside of it. You can edit certain things. And one of the really cool features is you can add bots. They have a lot of bots that you can add to a wave that do certain things. Mm-hmm. So, for example, one bot that we have in the Face Off show was Polly the Pollster, which creates a poll so that people in the wave can answer a question.
And our question was, like, do people like the 30-minute time slot versus the hour?
Definitely. So... and like another one would, there was one called like Pirate Talk, which you would type out your wave. And then once you sent it, Pirate would go in and like rewrite it with Pirate Talk.
That is a useful bot.
There is so many silly bots out there. So, I mean, what do you think, Mark? I'm dropping the bomb on you.
You know, honestly, well, it's in beta and it's invite only. So there's not, you know, not everybody is on it. Mm-hmm. You know, right now I haven't... I don't know. I've done little playing around kind of things. Yeah. And that seems to me what most people are doing with it at this point, at least that are in my group of people here that received invites. It looks like they're just playing around like, oh, you know, here's a...
Oh, look, here's a bot that turns Pirate Talk on. Yeah. You know that kind of thing.
So I've yet to see
the Face-Off one is sort of the first kind of serious one that we've been in. And again... And the problem was when you and I first got invites, this was before the last big wave of invites. Mm-hmm. There was absolutely no one on Wave. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was boring. Yeah. It was useless. I was like, what am I supposed to do with this? Sit and talk to myself?
Yeah.
Woo. So, but now there's been another wave of invites. I have quite a few friends, but the honest truth is none of them have really gotten excited about it. Mm-hmm. And I haven't even really either. So it hasn't been used. My biggest problem with it is it's very dirty. It's very, it lets you do what you want. You know, you can go in and edit other people's stuff, and you can reply to their stuff, and anybody can add a bot to the wave that can do anything. You could add a bot that just turns everything into the word, you know, duty or something, and then nothing you could do about that. And I hate that. I like rules. I don't.
Well, isn't there like a replay feature so you could probably back it out?
Yeah, you could, but still, I don't want to have to. That's. Yeah.
It's kind of hard to find out. Like, you'll get unread, you know, the unread notification. Yeah. Like, there's some unread stuff.
Oh,
here.
That is annoying.
And it's hard to almost tell what is.
Yeah, there's like a little green bar on the side of wave replies. And here's the really annoying part. So in Google Reader, you know, you get a list of things. You scroll down. It marks them red as you scroll down.
Right.
Wave doesn't do that for some of them. If it's like in the middle.
Or is it the bottom?
You have to like click it, like specifically, or mark the whole wave as unread, which is ridiculously annoying. Mm-hmm. It's super slow. Like, it's really HTML5 heavy. And I think I don't think that standard is there all the way yet. So a lot of browsers get really chunky with it. Like, my netbook has a really hard time with it.
Is that what it's doing? Is HTML5 and not just heavy JavaScript?
I think a lot of it is HTML5. Yeah. From the talk that Google gave at I.O.
So you couldn't use IE and join in on this?
I don't know. That's a good question.
Maybe it says, hey, your browser doesn't support the cool features. It
could be, but. Either way, it's just a little too soft for me. It's a little too, like, do what you want. Be creative, you know. And there's certain things, like, if I say something, it's not useful to me if I say it and it's not there and it's not my words. If other people edit it, that makes me mad. Mm-hmm. It says clearly edited by so-and-so, but still just not happy about that.
Yeah, it's hard to understand what's... If you treat it like an email, you would be making waves all the time, right, on new topics and things. Totally. But on this, it's kind of like topics evolve. And so you're kind of stuck in the same wave, going back and forth. Like, with would I have 10 way different ways with you, unless there are 10 different total topics, or would we just kind of change the topic in the middle of it, like a forum kind of does sometimes?
I don't know.
It's kind
of... Yeah, and like some of them, and it's funny, you can get, if you're a friend with anybody, you can get added to sort of any wave, and so there was... or not even if you're friends, but if you've emailed anybody, because it imports your Google contacts. So there's this lady from MSU that I knew... a little bit. I didn't, you know, I haven't really had a large amount of really communication with her, and she got a wave invite. And so I was imported to her wave thing, 'cause I was on an email that she was in, and she started talking to me, and I felt it odd that I was like sitting there. Also, I'm like, book, I'm in this wave.
Yeah.
That
I've got one here that I'm looking at that I don't even know I don't know a single person on one of these.
And you're like, whoa, I don't know what to do.
I don't even know how I got in here.
Yeah. It's just a little too soft for me, and things go a little too, you know, free flow happy with it. Like so certain things, I started a wave, called like, you know, recipe ideas, and I was pasting recipes in it and stuff, and that seemed okay. I wish my wife had Google Wave, because then we could, you know, create a recipes wave and do it. But then again, it's not organized. Like, there's no way to play with the data like that. Like, I want, you know what I mean? It's not a very useful database like that, right? I can't, I can't sort it. I can search, but the search I don't really like either. It seems
interesting.
Well, yeah, like sometimes you search and you're like, I have no idea why that wave popped up in the search, and like there's one instance of that word in that wave, and you're kind of like, that doesn't seem like that should be in the wave. Or, I mean, if I search for that just because that one word was in it, that doesn't seem like a relevant search result or something.
So does the little green dot mean that person's online at this time?
Yeah, if there's like a little green dot next to your picture, it means that person is online right now.
Okay, well, what do we like about it? I guess we've kind of been ripping on it a little bit.
Well, it's very real time, which is great. Mm-hmm. Like you and I were looking at the face-off wave. If we were changing our answers in the poll about the half an hour, and it just...
Yeah, that was like instant.
Right there. Yep. When people are typing, you see it as they're typing. Some people like that, some people don't. But it's, you know, it's very, very sort of now.
Collaborate a little, you know, with it. Okay. Do you think it'll be... do you think it'll be more useful when more of the bots and the gadgets or whatever come out, or do you think it's gonna be like the pirate talk? And
I don't know. I get the feeling that the way a bot interacts can't be useful enough yet for me to say that it's gonna change the way it works. You know, like during the demo they showed like the translate bot, which just was awesome, right? And like that makes sense, right? You talk, it translates your talk to whatever language the other person's in. That's a great idea. But then it's like, I can't really think of any other bots that are really going to make a huge difference to me, that are going to make it a showstopper. I'm just kind of like, well, they're okay. You know, I don't know. And it's honestly, it's really hard to say. It just didn't hit off with me. It just wasn't a home run. I was excited for a day when I first got invited. Mm-hmm. I was excited for another day when the wave of invites that I sent out, because this is how Google works, right? You the first people who got invited got 10 invites. So you get really excited and you're like, oh man, I have no friends on Wave. I'm going to send out 10 invites. No, they're not invites. They're nominations to be invited. 2 months later, they get added. So there was like 2 days of excitement there where all these new people were on Wave. But after that, I'm going to say pass on it.
Okay.
What do you think?
Well, I think we have yet to see the really usefulness of it. I mean, we're starting to, like, if we got a lot more people in the face-off wave and we could really start going,
maybe.
But then again, what if somebody joins and then starts deleting stuff? And
yeah, I mean, there are just some things, right? Let's say there's some things. When someone tells you what they do, you go, man, that is going to be useful. Mm-hmm. And my problem with wave again, let me finish my previous statement. So you say, wow, that's going to be useful. When I heard about Wave, I said, okay, you know, it takes kind of all these existing technologies and kind of changes them. But to me, again, like why Gmail was so awesome, right, is it took something that sucked, email, and made it useful. This doesn't, you know, like I can connect it to Twitter, I can connect it to Jabber, but it doesn't take those. Like, again, Google Talk took Jabber and made it awesome. Mm-hmm. This is kind of its own new thing that until really I think we start seeing the more open, because it is supposed to be sort of open source. People, you know, other wave things can interact with each other. Until I really see that, I can't see anything useful about it right now. I'm not going to tell people, well, to do this work effectively, we really should get a wave going. Mm-hmm. You know, I can do that with existing technology.
I remember when the hype started, well, I don't want to say hype, but when the buzz started going with this wave, I saw a lot of things saying, you know, this is going to replace email.
Uh-huh.
Do you? I mean, I don't think it would ever do it because it's Google only. I mean,
well, supposedly it's supposed to, the protocol is supposed to be open enough that other people could implement their own things.
Really?
But
so we could have a Yahoo Wave,
maybe,
and then you can interact between the two.
Maybe. I don't know. The same thing was supposed to happen with Jabber, right? It's this protocol that you can interact with different domains and stuff like that, and it just hasn't really taken off. I don't know. I don't know. I'm not wild, and I think it's got a long ways to go. I'm not gonna throw it away though. I mean, I'm gonna keep my eye on it and maybe try and use it when we're applicable. Like the face-off wave, I think is kind of an interesting idea. If more people get on wave, they can join it. We'll make it public right after the show so that you guys can search for it and find it if you want. But other than that, not a killer app. Kind of disappointed.
Well, I kind of agree with you.
Yeah. Oh.
That's Wave.
That is the Google Wave. So that wraps it up for this episode of Face Off. I want to remind you guys that you can subscribe to the show. Subscribe to the show by going to faceoffshow.com/subscribe. If you want, you can leave feedback for the show by going to faceoffshow.com/feedback. We have all kinds of ways you guys can leave feedback. Please do. We always love it. We like to hear from all our listeners. Super fun. And thanks, guys. We will see you next week.